The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they met it with a bat, fuck them protests in them cities. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, you died good riddance. That man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your garden. Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue. One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, of course. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. USA Inc. means simply that this place that you call in the country, that you call a nation, and we all have done it. It's not to say that anyone or insinuate that anyone is stupid or ignorant or anything. You don't know what you know until you know it. And a lot of people don't know that USA, United States of America, ceased to be a constitutional republic in 1871 when the government decided that it was going to convert itself into a corporation and incorporated in 1871. So for those that may be new and don't get it when I say USA Inc., that's what I'm talking about. Today is Monday. It is October the 19th, 2015. Hope that my voice finds you safe and sound behind these enemy lines. For some reason, probably has to do with a lot of alcohol, people letting their guard down, just relaxing or what have you. But for whatever reason, over the weekend, there tends to be a lot of casualties. People get off of work Friday, go out Friday night, and all through the weekend, partying, and not saying people shouldn't relax because you work so hard, but you should never let your guard down. You can relax and also have your guard up, exercising battlefield awareness. So, yeah, we hope that you did not become a casualty or anyone that you know and care about did not become a casualty. But we know some casualties were created. In today's program, I'm going to talk about casualties in terms of the global battlefield, not just behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., but in fact, if we're talking about a global system of racism and white supremacy, which a lot of people we interview, other independent media produced on Black Talk Radio Network, different channels and stuff, people we talk about, most of the people that tune in acknowledge that there's a global system. It uses racism to practice white supremacy. And so today we're going to focus on Palestine, which has been under Israeli occupation since 1948, I guess we could say, with the creation of Israel on land that already existed on top of a nation, just more settler colonialism, as we talked about last week. Ann Coulter being very proud of her settler ancestors, and they're not immigrants to America, they were settlers. And yeah, same thing in Israel. Those people who founded Israel, made up his government and whatnot, they weren't immigrants. They didn't travel there trying to escape persecution or anything like that. No, they were settling. They were colonizing. They were colonizing what was already there. As unfortunately seems to be the case in too many instances when you're dealing with Europeans. Not that they're the only ones who have colonized other people, but their system has lasted the longest. So we're going to talk about that because there are a lot of similarities. What we see going on in Israel, they had some mass protests against police brutality. Didn't get a whole lot of attention by the corporate media. It got some, but the majority of the information was circulated through social media. But I think it is important, even not so much if you're not a person that say, I'm not trying to ally with nobody that don't look like me or something like that. But it's good to have this information, even in terms of your war planning and how do you plan to combat this system that is, in fact, global. It's not just happening in the black community. It's not just happening in the barrio. It's not just happening behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. No, it's a global system. It's a global war. And they employ the same tactics throughout the global battlefield. So you gotta, you could actually, what you see in Palestine, and not to say it's not happening here, but it would appear that, you know, because we're not, it would appear that they are, let's say, under a great deal more stress and open warfare on them than what we see here in America. In America or in USA Inc., a lot of people confused, especially a lot of non-white people confused, and they actually think that, you know, we have a nation and they belong to that nation called United States of America. It's the land of freedom, and even if they acknowledge all these other problems, they still are bought into a system and have yet to come to the realization that that system is in fact global. And what you see on social media happening here is happening everywhere. So we got to gather that intelligence, then that way we can have more information to make decisions on, coming up with codes, coming up with strategies, and just overall planning, period. So I had an opportunity early this morning to speak with I think Mr. Lemon, Stephen Lemon, is 81 years old. He's been a guest on the program. He's a writer out of Chicago. He is a socialist. You will be able to tell that in the interview that I did with him earlier today, this morning. And you can tell that. But he's been writing about many things, the global system. Although he doesn't use a lot of terms like racism and white supremacy, certainly he knows that it exists and whatnot. But we had opportunity to speak to him today because he published an article about 1,300 Palestinians, civilians being shot in less than 2 weeks, in 11 days. I mean, that's like super high rate of casualties going on. And that could be occurring here. But we don't know because we don't get all the statistics. So that's the context. I was talking to him about that. But before we get into the interview with him, I do want to play this clip. Again, there's just been an escalation of violence there in the past 2 weeks, we could say. And I'm going to play this clip from Russia Today, RT. So you can get further background. Then once I play the interview with Mr. Lemon, I'll open up the phone lines if anybody has any observations. Obviously, you won't be able to ask him any questions because it's a pre-recorded interview, but you can ask me questions about anything I express or anything I may know, or how is this relevant, what was discussed, to black people today. So the telephone number, if you want to write it down, is 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Again, we'll open up. We'll go check the phone lines for anybody who has any calls. But once you're dialed in, you just hit *6 and 1, and that'll put a little icon next to your name so I'll know to come to you when we open up the lines for phone calls. So again, you can share your observations at 641-715-3660-54902#. It's not open now, but we will also open up the studio line 704-951-5030. So as soon as the interview is over, if you have any questions or comments, please have those ready. Only going to be on air for an hour today. If I have time, I'll share some other news with you. There's certainly plenty more to talk about, plenty more to talk about. All right. So those are the phone numbers. And this is from RT today about some of the recent violence in Israel and Palestine.
Violence continues to spread in the Middle East, with four Israelis being wounded in the latest round of stabbing attacks by Palestinians. Earlier, a 13-year-old boy was killed by Israeli police during clashes that erupted at a Jewish-only settlement near the West Bank city of Ramallah. On Sunday, an Israeli airstrike on Gaza killed a Palestinian woman who was 5 months pregnant and her three-year-old daughter. The IDF said it was targeting Hamas weapon sites in response to rocket fire from the area. People flooded the streets of Gaza to mourn the victims. RT spoke with the father of the family.
بقوله والله لسه ما انا عارف عمال بدنا هذا اللي صاروخ الثاني بنزل برخ الثاني ضليت احرك ما قدرتش اتحرك لقيت صوت نور انقطع معايا لحد ما قالت لي ايش فيها يحيى وضلت بنت رهف عمرها 3 سنين اتزعق الحقني يا بابا الحقني وابن محمد الثاني عمره 5 سنين برضه الثاني بقول لي يا بابا الحقني يا بابا الحقني
When the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu convened his cabinet on Sunday to discuss the situation, there were no hesitations whatsoever about which side is to blame for the rise in violence.
We're in the midst of a terror wave whose roots are deceitful and systematic incitement regarding Temple Mount. The incitement comes from Hamas, the Palestinian authorities, and the Islamic movement in Israel.
Now, the intensifying violence is causing some anxiety among Israelis living in the West Bank, with many rushing to buy guns for protection. Last week, the mayor of Jerusalem called on Israelis to carry a weapon if they have a license. Earlier, an activist from the Palestinian National Initiative told my colleague Andrew Farmer what he sees as the root cause of this crisis.
This is not a fight between Hamas and Israel, as some people report. This is a struggle of young Palestinian people against oppression and occupation. These are mostly independent young people who are sick and tired of oppression, of humiliation, of poverty and unemployment. It is almost a new intifada. It is happening because Palestinians have been under Israeli military occupation for 48 years.
One of the latest incidents that's caused a lot of concern is the death of the pregnant woman and her three-year-old child after an airstrike on Gaza. Earlier I spoke to a Likud party member of the Knesset about this strike, and this is what she said when I asked, why did this happen?
Israel is protecting its children with missiles. And the difference between Hamas is that Hamas is protecting its missile with children. Israel is only defending itself. And unfortunately, there are casualties. But it is not Israel's fault, it is Hamas' fault. In war, there's innocent people who are harmed by it, unfortunately.
Well, I think this young Israeli woman is a victim of racist upbringing. For her, a Palestinian life is not as important as an Israeli life. The problem with the Israeli politicians, including this young lady, is that they are following a racist approach, and they have transformed the system of occupation and oppression of another people into a system of apartheid and racism, much worse than what prevailed in South Africa.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Mr. Stephen Lemon is an author, writer, and political commentator. He's the editor and a contributor of the new book, Flashpoint in Ukraine, U.S. Drive for Hegemony Risks World War III. You can purchase the book at claritypress.com. Visit his blog site at sjlinman.blogspot.com, and you can also hear Mr. Lemon and others on In Cutting Edge Discussions with distinguished guests on the Progressive Radio News Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. Mr. Lemon, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News.
Scotty, it's great to be on with you.
Well, I wish it was under better circumstances, Mr. Lemon, because I've often become depressed doing this show over the years that I've been, you know, doing this radio program since 2007. And I tell the listeners, I'm sorry. It's not that I mean to bring you bad news all the time. And, you know, it's just unfortunate, you know, that a lot of times I get to speak to people with like you, Mr. Lemon, is because of the news that you report. But like I tell them, you know, I am not producing any kind of media to make you feel good about the world and paint a phony picture of it. People need to know what's going on. And so I came across your article the other day, and others have been reporting in the alternative media, as they call it, but let's just call it independent media. And I read your article about over 1,300 Palestinians shot in the last 11 days. And that is a lot. That's over 100 people today. And so thank you, you know, for the work that you do, and welcome back to the network. If I remember correctly, there's always been an occupation. So there's always been some resistance to that occupation by any means necessary. But there has always been some violence. But what this is like, you know, something, number of people we haven't seen killed like this since the Israeli offensive against Gaza, with a lot of civilians getting killed. And I think it started, this latest flare up started when that Palestinian home was firebombed by some settlers and killed the baby. But you probably know better than me. What do you trace this latest spike in violence in the occupied nation of Palestine?
Well, Israeli-provoked violence, Scotty, has been going on for decades, and to me that's the real reason for all of this going on now. There are always incidents going on a daily basis. It's very, very true that there were incidents that enraged the Palestinians justifiably. The firebombing of the Dawabsha family home, killing an 18-month-old baby, killing the mother, killing the father, and the only survivor was a young boy who I think is struggling to come back. He's been hospitalized, very severely burned. And Israel said, let me just get this, Scotty. Israel said it knows who did this, setting the house ablaze and committing these murders. It knows the perpetrators, but it refuses to arrest them, claiming, if you can believe this too, it'll harm national security. Who ever heard of anything like that? You know, maybe get
others
mad, Scotty, so you don't want to arrest any of them.
Well, isn't that why you see predominantly black people and non-white people in general, along with some white people, out in the streets? So since the killing of Michael Brown, aren't we seeing the same injustice?
Absolutely. It's terrible here, Scotty, and I've written about it. Michael Brown and so many other instances. Most of the police killings in America are black people, mainly Latino people. Anybody who's a poor person, anybody not in a well-off community. These things go on all the time, virtually every day of the week. I can remember writing once, on a hot summer weekend in Chicago, you can have as many as 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 killings go on. They never make any news. Any ones that do make the news make the back pages in a very, very short, brief comment. That's all this gets. So really, it's American streets are battlegrounds. And as bad as it is here, Scotty, it really is worse in Israel, because literally multiple times daily, Israeli soldiers storm into Palestinian communities, break into homes pre-dawn, innocent people doing absolutely nothing, terrorizing the families, traumatizing the children, ransacking the premises, stealing some things at times, arresting people without charges. This goes on every single day, Scotty. So literally, Palestinians go to bed at night not knowing will their homes be broken into before the dawn, and Israeli soldiers will be coming in to terrorize them. They simply don't know. Or little kids going to school don't know whether they'll make it to school or make it back home alive. This is how bad things are. And then you have incidents like the immolation of the Dawabja family members. You have the incidents at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Islam's third holiest site. Multiple instances of Israeli soldiers rampaging through the compound and the mosque, forcibly removing worshippers so extremist Israeli settlers can come into the compound and pray where they don't belong. And this has gone on time and again and again and again. And then you have all kinds of other incidents, and things begin exploding. But what's going on now, Scotty, wasn't begun by Palestinians. It was done by Israel, with these multiple provocations just egging the Palestinians on to respond in any way. And then Israel responded 10 times as harshly, 100 times as harshly, getting Palestinians to respond again. And this whole cycle of violence has been going on for weeks now.
It's not my intent to compare struggles, but it's really my intent to show that the struggle is the same. And some of the things, other than the bombing of Gaza, I mean, just all out military warfare to the point that they ran out of ammunition in the United States. USA Inc., as I call it, the corporate state, then, you know, passed some legislation to rearm Israel. So, no, we're not being bombed out over here. But in terms of the things like your home being raided, people being held without charge, in the north, if I remember correctly, in Chicago, Holman Square, secret sites and things of that nature. And, you know, only in terms of the so-called criminal justice system, no, I don't see that they have, they have it far worse, you know, cause these are soldiers. They're not being held accountable. Neither are the police officers either, over there. But I'm saying, at least here, you can push and get a person on trial, like, you know, down here where I am. Randall Carrick, where he got a jury trial, but despite the evidence, the jury deadlocked, and, you know, but at least he was prosecuted. All right, then we could talk later about the, you know, institutional racism within the court system and the jury pool, but I'm saying the structural system of racism and white supremacy is the same. It's happening to us. Ayanna Jones in Detroit, their home raided by a SWAT team, which just got an armored personnel carrier that cost $700,000, you know, that they bought with the money that they robbed from the people. So I'm not trying to say who has it worse. We're not playing that game. I'm just saying the struggles are similar, and I'm trying to get people to see that it's a global system. And then, Mr. Lemon, I'm sure you have wrote about Israelis coming over here to train U.S. police forces.
Oh, yes, indeed. And I don't in any way want to minimize what goes on in America, because police, Israel uses soldiers, but America uses militarized police, Scotty, as you know. And there's so much more heavily armed than they were decades ago, with literally military equipment, surplus Pentagon equipment, I mean, extremely lethal stuff. About the only thing they don't have are tanks and F-16s. But probably they'll get those before very long. Maybe nuclear weapons before long. And I've written about Holman Square in Chicago, which I call Guantanamo in Chicago, and I think it's been exclusively for terrorizing black people, literally hauling them in, people who've done absolutely nothing whatsoever, no crimes, and holding them there, incommunicado, torturing them brutally, and there's virtually nothing being done about this. And the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, Obama's...
former Secretary of State.
I'm trying to... Obama or George Bush. Obama's former... White House Chief of Staff.
Yeah,
not Secretary of State.
Yeah,
White
House Chief of Staff. You're right.
He's the guy running Chicago, an unindicted war criminal. The only way he got elected was they rigged the election, so he won. He wasn't really elected. He was simply chosen to be mayor of Chicago, and he was never eligible to run because he broke Illinois state law on who is eligible and who isn't, but he ran anyway, and he's been mayor. And then reappointed for a second term. So this is what we get in Chicago, Scotty.
Mr. Lemon, before you move on, I don't mean to interrupt, but before I forget these important facts, but didn't Rahm Emanuel serve 2 years in the IDF? Isn't he also a citizen of Israel?
Yes.
So didn't he spent two time in the army doing what we're talking about today, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think his father was very, very involved with Israel. But he did serve in Israel. He volunteered. I don't know whether he served any combat or not, but he served in the Israeli IDF, and I believe holds dual citizenship. And of course, he supports Israel all the way. And but of course, it's a lot more than Rahm Emanuel, Scotty, as you know.
Of course, of course.
I mean, it's U.S. policy straight down the line, bipartisan at the federal, state, and local levels. It's the media that's completely one-sided for Israel against the Palestinians. And whether black people in America suffer or Palestinians in occupied Palestine suffer, it's the same horrific thing going on, short of absolute war, which of course went on in Gaza. But for black people who are persecuted, it might as well be war, Scotty.
I often say that this is Battlefield America. I open up the program. I'm broadcasting from behind enemy lines. But it is a global system. And I just want people to see the connections. Because some people often say, well, you know, why should I care about what's happening in that part of the world over there? We got our own problems here, but they don't see the connections. And you know, I believe in getting the complete picture of the battlefield. And it's a global system. And then when you figure in the fact that many of the victims of the institutional racism and policing, what we call 21st century slave catching, you know, when you figure in the prison industrial complex, and whatnot, but it is a global system. And then those victims, their tax dollars fund Israel, fund the occupation and the brutality of the Palestinians, and not just the Palestinians, because, you know, and these people, they should feel conflicted, but the Ethiopian, let's just call them the black Jews, people that we would classify as black Jews, but from, you know, Ethiopia, other parts of Africa, they've had mass demonstrations against police brutality there, you know, and so it's really connected. I say the two areas are really connected in a lot of ways from a global perspective in this
oppression. Absolutely, Scotty. I've written about persecuting mainly Eritreans, black Jews in Israel, and there are some who are not Eritreans, but the majority are Eritreans. And I just wrote about an incident on Sunday, yesterday, an Eritrean resident going to get his visa renewed was killed by Israeli police. at a Bathsheba Israel bus station. He was mistakenly taken for a terrorist, and police shot and killed him. And bystanders, because police targeted him, thought he was a terrorist, and while he was bleeding to death on the ground, they attacked him and hit him with chairs and kicked him and beat him. Here's a guy dying on the ground, an innocent guy, being kicked and beaten. He got up to the hospital, but he was dead.
Now, in your piece, talking about, because this is like a lot of people in terms of, and I'm former military, and I've apologized for my ignorance and service to the global system of racism and white supremacy, but 1,300 people being killed in 11 days, you know.
Not killed, Scotty, shot.
Shot.
The number of deaths is approaching around 50.
Okay, so we'll call them casualties.
Shot, when I wrote that article, was 1,300. In other words, shot and wounded.
Shot and wounded. 1,300. That's still a lot. That's a lot of casualties. That's a lot of casualties.
It's probably 1,500 to 1,600 now.
In 11 days. And then, you know, I want, because it is important and we try to let people know exactly how many people are being killed here in the United States. And killedbypolice.net is a site that I trust as a source on keeping up with the numbers as best they can, because like the U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch says, she doesn't support a mandate on these police departments being forced to report. And then we find out I think there's something like 1,800 police departments across USA Inc. and less than 200 of them are actually reporting those statistics. So, you know, who knows what the count is? The real count could be here in these borders. So 950 as of October the 18th yesterday from their report. 950 people have been reportedly killed by police here in the United States. That, and like you said about these Palestinians being shot, you know, we don't even know those numbers here. You know, if a person don't, they're not keeping really count of that, how many people have just been shot by police and may have survived. So we really need more reporting and doing better at intelligence gathering on the real numbers here as well.
Oh, indeed, Scotty. And when somebody gets shot and wounded, if they later die, if they die the next day, I think we would hear about it, and it would be added to the count. When I see a count listed on an independent site reporting about what's going on in Palestine, but if the individual died, lingered on for weeks, and then died, that person would never be added to the count, so you wouldn't even know about it. How many people died from the Gaza war in 2014? So many wounded, over 11,000 wounded in that war, Scotty, that you know that there were numbers who died, and we never heard about them. They weren't in the official counts. There could have been hundreds of people that perished, let alone the people who were maimed for life, and the people who have already been maimed for life by Israel and what's going on now. So just like in America, the police almost always get away with this stuff unaccountably. The same thing is going on in Israel. They can shoot these people, they can brutalize them, they can kill them, they can maim them, and nothing ever happens to the Israeli people, the soldiers, the police, and especially the higher-ups.
Now, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on and talk about this incident, because I have seen reports. It's not like, you know, the independent media is the only thing. There are some mainstream reports out there, but there's a lot of propagandas. And I'll just read this passage from your piece. And this is exactly what I'm seeing, you know, through corporate media that's based here in the U.S. Blame victims for increasing numbers of real or fabricated stabbing attempts or incidents used to indiscriminately gun down defenseless Palestinians. Israel considers premeditated, cold-blooded murder self-defense.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And another thing that I pointed out in one of my articles, I forget which one, I've been writing daily on what's going on in Israel, and I believe it was on Sunday, I wrote three articles on Israel. But when every instance when an Israeli police or soldier kills a Palestinian, The excuse given is the person was a knife-wielding terrorist. When that excuse is given every time, Scotty, you know the whole thing is made up, fabricated, a big lie. I mean, there could be some instances where Palestinians had knives and they attacked Jews, but through a few days ago, until this past weekend, there were two Jews killed. Neither one of them knifed. They were shot. So through Friday of last week, there were two Jews killed, and they were both shot, and nobody was killed by a knife attack. And yet, if you read the U.S. media or the Israeli media, you always hear about all these instances being knife-wielding terrorists, Palestinians. So you know it's a lie. Most of these instances, Palestinians were unarmed. They threatened nobody. They were summarily executed in cold blood, and that's what's going on.
Well, again, that's why it's important that we have people like you, Mr. Lindman, to provide these reports and this type of objective analysis. And of course, right now they're talking about electing or appointing the next CEO of USA Inc. And neither the Democrats or, and I haven't really spent a lot of time watching the Republicans debates, but I paid attention to other people's analysis and whatnot, but just had the first Democratic debate for the Democratic Party, and none of these issues really came up. Libya came up, but not in the context that exposes Hillary Clinton as a war criminal who participated in the assassination of a sitting head of state, Muammar Gaddafi, the prime minister, and facilitating a takeover of the country by the same elements that they claim they fighting in the war in terror, ISIS or whoever, whatever name they throw out there. So I don't expect any truth there, but you know, again, you know, a lot of people are voting and participating in that people activity without all the information. And it's a shame. So you can't look to CNN to really even ask these people these questions. So what are your thoughts thus far?
Well, I'm pretty fed up with the endless wars, Scott. Hey, they seem to go on without end. One thing that encourages me greatly, and I certainly hope it will continue, Putin's intervention in Syria, a very, very important event. I was just interviewed by email on an Iranian news service. They emailed me a number of questions about the Syrian situation, and I was interviewed on Press TV on Sunday on the Israeli violence. And the other service called the MEHR news service, they interviewed me on Syria, and I explained very clearly that Putin's intervention is extremely important, a real geopolitical shift in what's going on. For the first time in my lifetime, really, certainly for the first time since the Soviet Union dissolved, another nation is challenging America's hegemony and doing it very, very effectively. And I think Putin's move was brilliant because look what he's doing. He's waging a war against the people America says we're against, ISIS and the other terrorists. But of course, America is not against these people. These people are U.S. foot soldiers. America recruits them, supports them, arms them, trains them, in Jordan, in Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and then sends them into Syria. There are no moderates. The so-called moderates is a complete fabrication. They're all of these terrorists. Call them ISIS, call them Al-Qaeda, call them, give them any name that you want. They're all basically the same thing. Maybe some are a little more violent than others, but they're all terrorists. Proxies. They're all taught how to commit atrocities, how to commit war crimes, and these are the people America is using in Libya, and now again in Iraq right now, and in Syria, and blaming Assad for fighting these terrorists. But Putin has drawn a red line, and America crossed the red line, I think.
Mr.
What Putin
Lindman
is concerned about, Scotty, is these people coming home. Thousands of Russians and Central Asians have joined the ISIS ranks, and he is afraid they're going to come back home and do the same thing in Russia and Central Asia they're doing in Syria. So he wants to confront them now rather than later. But he also supports Syrian sovereignty.
But isn't the conflict that's going on, the war that's going on in Syria right now, with all the proxies of Western governments and the United States, it's more complicated than that, because on our network, Tando Radio Show has reported on it. I've reported on it on this program, that Russia, the Syrians, the Iranians, the Shia control Iraqi government formed a coalition, and now the Chinese have also sent warships and military advisors. There's a Chinese warship sitting off the coast of Syria, and so it's not just Putin. And I think the mainstream media, from what my analysis of watching some of it, what comes on cable television and whatnot, that's how they've been trying to portray it to the people. That's how, in fact, in the debates, you know, you hear Hillary Clinton and all the other candidates or all the Republicans talking about, you know, it's about Putin and Putin's this and Putin that. And it's not just Putin. It's all those countries I just named that came to form a coalition. And that really could blow up into a war, a third world war, in my analysis.
These other countries, not including China, formed an intelligence coalition. Iraq and Iran are not involved in the fighting. It's possible that could change ahead, but they are not involved in the fighting. There is an intelligence intelligence center that was formed in Baghdad, supplying information. But Russia is the only country helping Syria militarily right now. It could change, but that's the way it is right now. A Russian air power combined with Syrian ground forces and some Syrian air power. But Syrian air power is nothing compared to Russia's. I think the people in Washington, Scotty, are absolutely awestruck at the effectiveness of Russian air power. And the reason Russia fired 26 cruise missiles from the Caspian Sea to strike targets in Syria with pinpoint accuracy, claims about four of them falling in Iran, was a complete lie. They all hit their targets with pinpoint accuracy, and I think the people in Washington were awestruck by this, because U.S. cruise missiles aren't as accurate as the Russian ones, and they were scared, and they're saying, what on earth are we going to do? Well, one thing they did was they took their aircraft, U.S. aircraft carriers, out of the Persian Gulf to get out of range of Russian cruise missiles in case anything happens. Russia isn't going to target them. But if anything happened between America and Russia and they were sitting there, they would be targets. They'd be sunk. They absolutely would be sunk. So they got them out of there. I mean, this is saying Russia has formidable power, and they showed it off to America. That was another Putin objective. Don't tread on me, because we can tread very hard on you. Putin doesn't want a war. Putin wants peace. He wants stability. But he also believes that all countries have a right to sovereign independence, and that's another reason that he's supporting Assad.
In closing, this will be my final question. Again, I want to thank you, Mr. Lemon, for spending this time with us today. In taking it back to the Israelis, again, the 1,300 who have been shot by either soldiers and police, and some of the stories include, like, you know, the straight up murder of teenagers, 15-year-old Palestinian girl, other teenagers that you have written about and I'm sure spoke about on your radio program. And but where's the UN in all of these violations? Are they're just, you know, treating it just like here in the United States? I mean, they have called out, and individual countries have called out the United States for a number of its human rights violations, including on policings and extrajudicial killings. And but, you know, where's the UN? You know, where's the UN? What faith should anybody have in the UN if they can point out all these human rights violations or don't even say anything while these crimes are occur? I'm trying to be an optimist, and of course people should always struggle, but the question is, you know, do you think the UN is useless?
I think you raised a very important point. The UN is doing nothing to support the aggrieved people of Palestine or suffering people anywhere. The only thing you hear are a few high-minded comments, and the typical comment from the Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, is urging both sides to be calm and show restraint. Can you imagine that, Scotty? You've got an 800-pound gorilla going after, a little kid in the street and just pummeling the hell out of him, and Ban Ki-moon is urging both sides to show restraint. That's the only thing he can say. I mean, it's pretty obvious who the guilty party is and who the victims are, but you never hear him say anything like that. And, of course, he never does anything, whether it's occupied Palestine, whether it's the Libyans, the Iraqis, the poor people in Afghanistan being pummeled for 14 years. He never lifts a finger, never does a thing, just a few comments here and there, and that was it. Even the Gaza war, he made a few strong comments against Israel, but he didn't lift a finger to do a thing.
Thank you again, Mr. Lemon. And is there can you tell people again, if they want to follow your work, where's the main places they should go to find your work and continue to read about the things that are important that's going on all over the globe?
I put all my articles, Scotty, on my blog site, which I originally set up only for myself, but a lot of people discovered it, and I get a fair amount of readership. And the easiest way to access my blog is the way I do it. Simply Google my last name, L-E-N-D-M-A-N, Lendman, and there aren't many Lendmans around, so you can find it very easily. I'm putting up new articles every day. I'm about to post an article I have to think about what I wrote on what day, but I certainly wrote a lot about Israel today. Yesterday I wrote about the farcical Egyptian election and three articles on Israel, and I'm finishing up another article, and I'll put that up right now. But they're all on my blog site. They're all going up every day. I do this 7 days a week, so there's always new material, and if there isn't any new material on, it means that I'm ill, and I'll get back to writing when I'm well again.
Well, we hope you stay in good health. As we spoke earlier, you have been feeling a little under the weather, so we hope that you get stronger and
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
No, it really isn't, because, see, people are thinking in terms of, well, they want to brag about being black, which means that they are implying that there's something incorrect about being white, even though these are the creations of the Creator. See, and then so everybody gets into this black pride thing or white pride thing, and people immediately start taking sides. It's not about taking sides based on black and white. It's about taking sides based on justice and non-justice. Well, that's what you're really aiming for. Being black doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice. And being white doesn't mean anything if you don't believe in justice. Except you mean in, you believe in non-justice. And that doesn't make any difference what shade you are, or how tall you are, or who your cousin was, or anything like that. Or what so-called nationality you have. Like a lot of people say that they take pride in being an Englishman, or take pride in being a Frenchman, or take pride in being Afrocentric. Well, you're not supposed to be proud of any of those things if you don't believe in justice, because these words mean nothing. No nationality means anything. And waving a flag, if you don't believe in not mistreating people, you've got to believe in not mistreating people, and you got to believe in helping people that need help the most. Otherwise, you don't even have any business breathing.
Gentlemen, what brings me to my next point? Don't smoke crack.
Have you thought about getting into podcasting but don't know where to start? Have something to say to the world but don't know how? The popularity of podcasts and internet radio streaming continues to grow, with millions of people on the planet gaining internet connectivity through a multitude of devices. In the current media age, people can browse internet radio stations or listen to podcasts right from the dashboard of their cars. There are few barriers to anyone who wants to produce internet-based media. to encourage media production for black people by black people. If you are an independent black media producer or want to become one, the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project is offering unlimited and unmetered podcast hosting services below industry pricing. Need more information about the industry and the technology? Find out how to create internet-based radio broadcasts and or podcasts at www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Again, that's www.knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com.
I don't worry. I tell you, I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago. And I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
Information age. Everywhere we go, every day on TV, they be talking about who you gonna vote for. Got a black man running, but I wonder if he get in, who he gonna open up the door for. I don't wanna discourage my folk, I believe in hope, I just want us to want more. Politics is a game, how they keep us contained, there gotta be more than we can hope for. Democrats and Republicans, just two sides of the same coin. Either way, it's still white power, it's the same system, just changed form. You wanna vote? Please do. Cast your ballot, let your voice be heard. But what I do wanna say is after the election, you'll see, mark my word.
And we are back live. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on the mic from behind these enemy lines, known as USA Inc. We just played our pre-recorded interview that we did with Mr. Stephen Lemon, again, about 81 years old, lives in Chicago, and is a prolific writer. He has a different perspective. He does come from a Marxist perspective, so I always expect him to be like pro Russia, but as it is, the facts are what they are. It doesn't matter the source. You get the information, you evaluate it, you check it against other information, then you determine on whether or not it's accurate, and then make your move based off of that information that you have gathered. And I found that Mr. Lemon has been a great source of information. Now, obviously, he's retired, and this is what how he spends his time is writing about geopolitical issues and things that's going on. Let me check the phone lines. Let me make sure I open up the studio line again. We have a few minutes left, so if anybody wants to get in a comment, ask a question, the studio line is open. 704-951-5030. That's 704-951-5030. I do have an update for you from Palestine once again, and this is inside of the recognized borders of Israel by a lot of people, but a black person has been murdered by an Israeli mob. And we'll see if we can play some video. This just came out about maybe 30 minutes ago, 45 minutes ago, somewhere around there. An African asylum seeker was shot by an Israeli guard who mistook him for an assailant and was then kicked by a mob as he lay bleeding before he died, according to a video posted Monday amid a wave of violence that has left the nation on edge. While images of the growing Arab-Israeli tensions have dominated the news here for weeks, showing Israeli soldiers in residential streets and Palestinians facing checkpoints and searches, the video from Sunday's assault offered a vivid tableau of Israeli anger and frustration at their inability to quell violence. So what we're hearing from the Washington Post thus far seems like a very codified way to justify the killing of this African man, this black man, and saying, oh, they're just frustrated and they haven't been able to stop it, even though we got the, you know, gun control and all of that, and they ain't supposed to have guns. They're using knives to, you know, rise up against the oppression from the boot that's been on their neck since birth. We're talking about young people, like we heard in that earlier clip they were talking about. You know, these are young people. Some of them using violence. We've seen it here in the United States. They, you know, whether some people believe they false flags or not, some of them have not. We're not false flags. I totally believe that that white man and that white woman, I think that was in Nevada where they had executed those police officers and then accused the cops of being Nazis and threw a swastika on their dead bodies. I haven't heard much about that trial yet. So, you know, the attack on the state police in Pennsylvania by the sniper, they caught somebody. Haven't heard much more about that case. So, but to justify their just, you know, like you heard Mr. Lemon talk about, just 10 times the needed response or whatever, you know, it's just really justification for just what you wanted to always do, just practice genocide. We saw it here. There's really no accurate count of how many people were actually lynched and what they talk about Jim Crow and people still being lynched. And I'm sure calling them suicides and, you know, dragging them by their neck like James Byrd. And so, I mean, then there is like the lynching that the police do with their weapons. Doesn't have to necessarily put a rope around your neck literally to lynch you. The point is death, to bring about a person's death or homicide. So that's what I'm reading. You always have to be careful when you reading a known source of information that is controlled by white people, because where there are white people, there's liable to be racist. And so often you can't always just come out and you just can't prove them because they so slick with it and codified with it that you really have to scrutinize, you know, everything. You have to really, you know, be informed about how the system of racism and white supremacy work in the area, what people activity area, what we call that. I mean, it could fall, there's nine areas, but in terms of, I wouldn't call news media, I would call Fox News entertainment, but it's not real, it's entertainment with a racist purpose. Fox News is incorporated as an entertainment company, so that's how they explain how they could straight up lie to people, and there's been some court cases about it, but in terms of information, I think people activity area of communications needs to be added. Communications, yeah, we'll put that in there. That'll be number 10. Communications. So you have to decode the enemy's communications and how they're writing it to, you know, practice racism. They went on to write, it also appeared to display increasing hardline reactions from Israeli security forces and guards, whose tactics have drawn harsh criticism, especially from Palestinians. Well, obviously the victim is going to complain the most, that Israel is using excessive force instead of trying to apprehend suspects. Well, that's like we've seen with the gunning down of Walter Scott that was captured on video. Happens all the time. Michael Brown. Happens all the time. But this man, this was an African again who was seeking asylum. Probably came from Libya somewhere, the way, you know, the United States and their coalition, NATO, the French, the English, all the British, all of them. How they overthrew Libya and then allowed their proxies to just go start murdering Africans on site, ethnic cleansing, all kind of war crimes. Who knows where this African fled from? And so this white mob, and they are white people. There's a system based on a phenotype over there. They're not all Jews and whatnot. And so a mob murdered this man. So they're going to accuse him of being how can an Israeli guard attack him for an assailant? I mean, mistake him for an assailant. Did he have a knife in his hand? Had he attacked you? Did he, you know, where are the details on that? Let's see if we can play this little short clip because we're running out of time. Let's play this video.
This is a story about doers. It's also a story about canals.
All right, we'll just mute that there. DavidSheen.com. David Sheen. I've interviewed him maybe once or twice. He's in Israel. He is an Ashkenazi, what I would classify as an Ashkenazi Jewish person, married to African Hebrew. They classify themselves as Hebrew Israelites, and they left the United States in the 1970s and settled in Israel. So they're blacks who resettled in Israel, and they say that they are descendants of the original inhabitants. And there, of course, are other black people that are classified as Palestinians as well. But David Sheen, he has documented for years on his website, davidsheen.com, video, all of that, you know, showing that this, they operating on a system of racism and white supremacy. On my program, okay, the video's about to start. On my program, he described it as the United States in the 1950s during Jim Crow, you know. So that was his reference. All right, so yeah, the video, let's go ahead and play this video of this mob. And they certainly had mob violence in the 50s, and just, you know, snatch a black person up, or a Mexican, or a non-white person up, and lynch them and do whatever they want. But let's listen to this short report.
Cell phone video shows the immediate aftermath of one of the most serious recent events in Palestinian-Israeli violence.
Blood on
the floor. It was here at the Beersheba Central bus station in southern Israel, where police say a gunman killed one person and wounded eight. Police say the man, who has not been identified, used a handgun to attack and kill a soldier before using the soldier's assault rifle to fire at others. As police swarmed the scene, a crowd gathered at a hospital for news of loved ones.
Do I need to live in a world where I'm afraid to leave home to go to class, to work, or go to shopping? Everything is frightening, and I want the police to take more action and an increased security presence.
The attack came hours after Israel began erecting concrete barriers throughout annexed East Jerusalem. Police say the walls are intended to stop petrol bombs being thrown at Jewish apartments. The recent violence stems in part by Palestinian anger over what they see as increased Jewish encroachment on the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, something Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu denies.
We didn't change anything. The orders of...
All right, that's straight-up propaganda. We tuned in. It's supposed to be about this white supremacy mob violence on the black victim. They come in with nothing but making excuses. Where are the details on the case? Where are the details? You say, where's the video of this mob violence? All I saw the blood on the floor. The brother was probably crawling for his life, trying to get away from these thugs and these racist murderers. But it was blood on the floor. So why would they mistake him for the person that they said, you know, was resisting white supremacy and took an Israeli soldier's gun and shot him with it, you know, resisting, you know, occupation and whatnot. But, you know, he wasn't Arab. This African wasn't Arab or anything like that. So why did he mistake him? I mean, what? They basing it off of phenotype? Well, that's racism, right? But I didn't even want to hear Benjamin Netanyahu and all that. So I stopped it short. It's only a minute and 13 seconds long. I don't even know the victim's name. So this is why I'm saying you have to be careful when you consume in racist white supremacy media. You have to be careful. You have to analyze. You have to scrutinize, I think is a better word for it. Just expect them to practice some kind of misinformation because they practicing racism and white supremacy. So but yeah, mob violence, and that's nothing new. They've been doing that to Africans over there for a very long time. I've talked about or reported the sterilization program Benjamin Netanyahu's government admitted to, and you know, they cut the Eritrean, I guess. Well, the reports I saw were Ethiopians. Cut their numbers in half in 10 years by practicing, what do they call that? Eugenics. Giving them birth control. Sterilizing people without their knowledge or under coercion. Like they was doing some of the African asylum seekers and immigrants and whatnot. See, they don't like immigrants either. They like the white people here, like you see Donald Trump and all of that, and all these immigrants, and we hate them, and let's pass laws to criminalize them and put them in jail, and let's shoot them down in the streets, and practice slavery against them, just like we practicing against the black people. So, man, it's all connected. People should see it as being connected. During my interview, I tried to make the connections between the police terrorism we suffer here, the criminalization, what they call the criminal justice system, is really the slavery system. Israel, they got private prisons. They hold people, detain people, secret sites and stuff, kidnapping people, torturing people. And then they want to act like you're a criminal because you, under the stress of all of that and knowing your history and the occupation and all that, and you defend yourself. Well, how do they defend themselves? With guns and bombs and all that. So, you know, we're talking about people armed with knives. So anyway, that's my program for today. Thank you for tuning in to Black Talk Radio News. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Tando Radio will be on air. And I believe that'll be all of the live streaming on Monday on Black Talk Radio Network. Please make a contribution to Black Talk Media Project, which is a North Carolina-based nonprofit here in North Carolina. We distributed live content as well as pre-recorded content on our digital radio station, Black Talk Radio, to about 76,000 individual listeners with an average of about 56 minutes per person on average, some more, some less, of course, but 76,000. And so as we reach more people, our operating costs go up. Just the basics of stuff, covering costs, or, you know, server processes, and, you know, just a whole lot of stuff, technical stuff I don't want to explain right now. But we're happy and ecstatic that we're reaching more people. But it costs money. It costs money. And that is why the Black Talk Media Project was established. So if you can make a contribution right there on blacktalkradionetwork.com, just you'll look and see a tab that says 2015 Black Talk Media Project Fundraiser. Any amount would surely be appreciated, and it would go towards our increasing costs and to help us establish new, more programming. All right, peace and blessings to all. Recognize the fact, though, that you live behind these enemy lines. Again, stay tuned for Tando Radio Show coming up here at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on this network.